Welcome to the minisode, Kate.
It's such a pleasure to be here, Hilda.
Thank you for coming back, even though it was just a minute ago. That always makes me laugh. We literally didn't go anywhere. But anyway, okay. So one thing we did not touch on in the main interview is cooking and how, I think I've heard you say, it lies at the heart of many of our issues right now. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, I've really been thinking about how our, that we have stopped cooking as much at home, really, and to return to it would really influence three spaces that I think desperately need us to cook at home. And those three spaces are human health. And I think that your listeners are very familiar with all the ways in which human health is declining. And when we eat out, I think we are taking in a lot of ingredients that are hidden, a lot of sugars, a lot of seed oils that we might not know is in that food. And I think that's one thing that we can do. Or we're eating processed food, right? We're eating convenience foods in lieu of cooking that are going to be hyper palatable, hyper processed, full of these ingredients that we might not want in our bodies. And then I think it lies at the heart of regenerative farmers and ranchers that, I mean, farmers and ranchers across the United States are struggling. And this is something that I think is really important to talk about. They operate on average on 1.5% margins. This is not okay.
You mean they're making very little for all the work they're putting in?
An average of 1.5% margins, which means that many farms and ranches are in the red. They are not making any money, and they are growing the most important part of our food system. And I really believe that if we return to cooking at home and building these relationships with the people that raise our food, that raise our meat, that raise our vegetables, that we can begin to build a more financially sustainable system. And I think that's really important, as well as the reciprocity in regenerative agriculture, building soil organic matter. And so it has both ramifications for the financial health of farmers and the health of soil and our land. And then that third piece is, I think that we have become really deeply disconnected with one another. I think at multiple different scales, at the scale of the individual family unit, where having a meal at the dinner table can really bring us together, at the scale of our communities, where when we host a little get-together potluck in our backyard where we're cooking for one another, we're connecting back into our communities. And I think that connection with one another is as much of a nutrient as anything that we're going to find in our food. And so I really believe that cooking lies at the heart of this little triangle that we're experiencing some fractures in.
Wow. Yeah. So you're saying that if we literally rolled up our sleeves and made more meals from scratch, we would see the benefit in our own health.
Yes.
We would be helping to revitalize the soil and farmers and ranchers' livelihood.
Yes.
And we would revitalize our community too.
Yes. That's my thought.
Wow, that's really, really interesting. And just it's a novel way to look at it. That's why I'm processing it out loud. If you were going to recommend to someone who eats out all the time, for example, I have friends in New York City who literally don't even have a kitchen because mm-hmm. they're assuming New Yorkers are not going to cook from home or from scratch, yeah. Like what would be a simple meal to start with? What might be on your table one Thursday night, for example?
Yeah, so oftentimes on my table, whether it's for breakfast or dinner, is some ground beef or ground meat of some sort that has just been sauteed with some herbs, maybe a little bit of carrots or celery or a vegetable from my garden. And that's it. And I actually think that one of the biggest hurdles in cooking is that we've been sold this idea that cooking needs to be fussy or fancy by chefs and by restaurants. And I think if we can get back to this idea that it doesn't have to be precious, it can just be simple and nourishing, that is really helpful for those of us that need some convenience in our food. And I count myself amongst them, right? I run a podcast and a farm and a business. And so I need meals to be quick and easy and not take too much time. And you can literally just saute up some ground beef with a little bit of salt and call that good. And if you want to add some flourish and some herbs or some vegetables, great. But we can kind of let go of this idea of these more put together meals.
Yeah, that lowers the bar and it's still super nourishing. I love that my friend Hillary Boynton always says, simplicity is gourmet.
I love that. That's beautiful.
It is. But I think one thing that came to mind when you were saying what has influenced us to think we have to get fancy, I think it's all the cooking TV shows too, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's celebrity chef culture. I think it's when you open up a cookbook from Thomas Keller and he's telling you to blanch celery before you add it to your chicken soup. Well, this is ridiculous. This is not made for people that lead busy lives and that want cooking to feel simple and accessible.
Well, I feel like you've helped us remember that truth. So thank you so much for joining me for this little mini-sode. And we really appreciate you, Kate.
Absolutely. I appreciate you so much, Hilda.